Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday afternoon. We got the national championship in men's basketball tonight. 5:50 tip. It'll be the Houston Cougars taking on the Gators of Florida.
I had it half right. I had Florida Duke, and boy, did it look like Duke was going to take care of things. And yikes, dog.
Well, you have two teams that are going to be in it tonight that they kind of play by the same mantra, but in two wildly different ways.
Yes.
We are going to grind you to a pulp and then see if you have anything left at the end. And that's the way that Florida did not just win in the Final Four. It's how they've won all season long. We see them just boat race teams in the second half of games. And
quite the second half for Florida.
The definition of grind you up, mm-hmm. spit you out, and see what you're made of is this Houston Cougars team.
Yeah, I mean,
where you want to start? You want to start with Final Four, Florida-Auburn, or Houston?
Let's go Florida-Auburn first.
All right, Florida-Auburn.
Let's go as it happened. And the way Auburn came out in that game, I went, oh, crap.
Oh, you mean Jani Broome making plays on both ends of the floor early?
I mean,
looking like that dude that looked 100%?
The first possession, like the basketball in me just tingled all over.
And then he was running his mouth coming down the other end like, I'm going to be here all night.
They posted him up at 20 feet, and he walked Alex Condon under the rim, shimmy post fade. And I went, oh, we got real hoops here. Straight post up, walk down to start the game. Because that play's scripted. That play's 100% scripted. It is, Jani Broome, we ride and die with you. We are going to give you the ball. Go give him that work. Go straight. And Condon's a big kid. He's NBA prospect. And Broome made him look silly.
And the shot wore off. And he looked hurt in the second half.
Yep. And that was, it was apparent that he was the whole like, oh, he'll be close to 100%. He wasn't. And that's
whatever
that's
they the gave him though before the game.
Woo, it worked because he started out, baby.
It looked like he was going to be a problem
everywhere to start that game.
And he was a problem. But this is what Florida does. They will rope-a-dope you, they'll take their lumps early. and then they go for the knockout blow in the second half. And Walter Clayton is a bad man, going for 34 in that game. The first player since Larry Bird in 1979 to score 30 or more points in an Elite Eight and Final Four game. He took over that ball game in the second half. And it's just control. It's
that
control.
Is like, if you look on Auburn's side of this, their point guards, Todd Pettifer and Miles Kelly, shot 4 of 16 in the game. That's where the game was lost for them. Their guard play just did not, like, look, they lean on Janai Broome. And Chad Baker Mazzara was you got good Chad Baker Mazzara.
And that was
the thing we talked about on Friday. Yep. It was to close the show, was that dude is a wild card. He is either out to sea or very good. 18 points, 4 steals, 2 assists, a block, just kind of everywhere. He's a very good glue guy who's got some offensive juice when he's cooking.
Yep.
But their guards didn't show up, and then, well, so this weekend, it was Sunday, I was talking to some scouts about Walter Clayton Jr. and where he may or may not go in the draft. And there were some guys who are like, I can see him being a second round guy. There were some guys like, the way he plays, and he goes, I'm not just talking about the last two games. There's some Jalen Brunson to him. There's some, like, just real Hooper stuff to him.
I laughed out loud when I heard Jay Williams on Get Up this morning. Did you hear what Jay Williams said? He's a mix of Steph Curry and Dame.
Okay, chill.
I audibly laughed out loud. I was like, what? But
I do believe there is some, like, there's just like
bucket getter, shooter, big moment guy.
You just know when a dude's got the, like, you can.
Brunson is a lot better, but he can shoot better than Jalen Brunson did in college. But like, I get that.
But like, it's,
I like that more.
It's a feel, IQ, execution, trust. Like, he's a 4-year guy. Like, he's. And that does play into it, but also sometimes those 4-year guys, Tamani Kamara, you just have the goods.
Yeah.
You just, you can take all, part of it is you can take all the projection off guys and go, what can this guy do right now? And you're like, you salivate, and again, Cooper Flagg's a different level, but like, you see the projection of what Cooper Flagg can be, and it's like, yeah, all NBA, 100%. A guy like Walter Clayton, you go, you're not as sexy because you are kind of what you are. Yeah, you'll develop a little bit more, but it's kind of on the margins. But what if what you are right now is just a really good basketball player? What if you're a good shooter? You've got a good handle. You've got good feel. Like, you have all of these things, and you go, you know, 2-3 years down the road, like, how does this guy a second round pick? It's like, how the hell did everybody miss this? And it's like, yeah, the things he was good at in college, he's good at in the league. Yeah. But that's what he has been for Florida all season. And he's putting his foot on the gas in the Elite Eight and the Final Four.
Yeah, he was special. And then Elijah Martin, soul snatching.
Yes.
Like that, dude, that guy, that dunk in traffic, oh, he got some bunnies on him. When those kind of plays happen, those are backbreakers. Auburn fought to the end. I think that what you can say with both of these games, free throws in controlling the boards at the end of game, total difference for both of the Final Four games. And
you're talking about lack of rebounding for one team.
It was apparent. Florida earned that win. It played right into their style and exactly how they've kind of grinded out wins all season long. That was a hell of a basketball game. It came down to the final minute. And when that game was wrapping up, I was like, no matter what happens in Duke Houston, this Final Four is already a good one.
And then you had maybe the best comeback in NCAA basketball history.
And both things can be true. Duke blew that game, and Houston played the game they've played all season long and won. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The back half of the Final Four on Saturday saw the Duke Blue Devils blow a 14-point lead and fall to the Houston Cougars 70-67. Biggest blown lead in John Shire's young coaching career.
Boy, I don't even know where to start in this game just because it's such an unreal comeback for Houston. But what a monumental meltdown for Duke. A team that has been so good and so rock solid and never bothered by stuff. They're one bugaboo this year. Games within 5 points. But the issue is, it wasn't within five with a minute to go.
No. No, they...
56 seconds.
There was a meltdown of epic proportions. When you look at the three things that Houston has done well all season long: create turnovers, rebound the ball, make shots at the end. Like, they are, and there's like clutch shot making. That's what they have been really damn good at this year. Five of Duke's seven turnovers came in the final 10 minutes of the game. So, like, you were to say final quarter of the game, right? Five of their seven turnovers. They made one field goal in the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds of the game. Okay? They had zero defensive rebounds in the final 3 minutes of the game. And that's with Kaman Malach, who played 21 minutes at 7'2", did not record a single rebound in the entire game.
Cooper Flagg had 19 of their 33 second half points, and yet did not see the ball for four of their final five possessions.
And that was Proctor kind of taking over, playing hero ball at the end. And this was a team that we'd talked about this. You had three freshmen who had come in and they'd been poised. They didn't flinch. Mm-hmm. They didn't blink. And I think when you look at it,
two of them showed up
and showed out, man.
Cooper Flagg and Konkanipal were dudes in this game.
They were. It was everybody else. Everybody else. Cooper scored 27. Konkanipal scores 16. They only scored 67 points in the entire game, right? That's where it came down to. It came down to everybody else, and that's what Houston did. So you can look at it, and was it a meltdown of epic proportions? Absolutely.
Yes.
Did the referees call what I believed was an egregious over-the-back on Cooper Flagg? Yes. But at the same time, there's an angle. Somebody who's shooting from like on the baseline of the elevator or on the sideline of the elevated floor. And you can see all of the markers of what an over-the-back should be in that situation. Cooper Flagg left his feet. He leaned over. He reached over the back of the defender. But it didn't fit the flow of the game.
No. The way that game was called, the way that game was being played, the physicality, these are two of the most physical teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And for that call to be made then, look, if you want to go by the book, and even by the book, it's iffy.
Yeah.
It's iffy, but man, but that's just one of the issues.
You is can that
over the over the back, the inbounds.
There it is.
The inbounds. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, the guy inbounding may have been concussed because he bounced his dome off the floor.
Good God, man.
That was crazy.
How was there not a foul called on that chase down?
Yeah, I don't know.
He got wiped out.
He did. Like, it was body. He got hit on the arm, too.
Yeah, he and got it was like, everything. All of that happened before the block.
Yeah. Back to the Cooper Flagg over the back thing, though. Make your free throws. Dude, free throws. Bill Shonley, may he rest in peace. You've got to make your free throws. They went 18 of 23 from the line, mm-hmm. which is really damn good by any measure. When it mattered the most, though, that's where Duke puckered, right?
11 of 11 between Knipple and Flagg.
Flagg, yeah, and even Common,
4 or 5.
4 or 5. I mean, they shot really well from the free, but it was when it mattered. You didn't have the ball in those guys' hands.
That's the thing that blew my mind. Of like, I get the whole like, in the middle of the season, you don't run the Cooper save us offense.
Yeah.
In the final freaking four, when he's playing that good, Cooper, please save us. Get him the bleeping ball.
But I will go to this too. As Duke was gacking that game away, Houston played how they've played all season long. There's a reason why Houston is where they are.
Yep.
And that right there, that game encompasses it, where they will just beat you to hell. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, how much you got left?
And they tried to implode. Tugler picks up the technical foul, reaching on inbounds and knocks the ball out of bounds. Which also, did you catch the ref on that? That's a class B technical. Like reading it off like it was a misdemeanor. I was right. Like, I've never once heard it called that.
Never heard that, no. I think that both of the things can be true. Duke blew it. Houston stuck to their identity because Kelvin Sampson had an all-time quote after the game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you have culture, quitting isn't part of the deal. We're just going to play better. And Houston did late in that game.
What was it 36 seconds to go? Duke finally does get an inbound that doesn't backfire. And they get into their offense. And I'm like, are they going to foul here? Sampson puts his hands down. Motions both hands down. Settle in, boys.
Yep.
I trust you. That's a ballsy call.
Yeah.
That is a ballsy call for, in the first half, they weren't doing a great job of slowing down Duke.
And
so to stand on business there was huge. And they get the stop. They get, because if you put them at the line there with maybe a little bit less pressure, with the score a little bit further out, maybe they hit them. Maybe hit those free throws, and then you don't have the chance. They get the stop, they go down, and they score.
That, to me, is this is what college basketball fans have been waiting for years, is that that's the difference between having a one-and-done-heavy team
mm-hmm.
and having a bunch of dudes who have fought, scratched, and clawed their way through college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Kelvin Sampson trusted them, and he trusted LJ Cryer. Dude. He has got ice water running through his veins.
Huevos grandes.
He played outstanding. Big shots down the stretch. Just that calming force for Houston. That was a phenomenal game. That's like one of those all-timers of Final Four games.
I mean, it was one of the best comebacks I've ever seen, especially in that space.
And we talked about this on Friday. I asked you, how many more shot attempts do you believe Houston has taken over mm-hmm. their opponents? on the season, they took, heading into the Final Four, 306 more attempts per game than their opponents over 38 games.
And that Colin Malawach not securing the defensive rebound, Houston was plus 8.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that. They were plus 8 in field goal attempts, and they were plus 8 offensive rebounding. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things. The only thing that they deviated from, they turned the ball over more than Duke, and that is a rarity for them.
Yeah, and you got to be careful with Duke because they're so good in transition. But Tugler did not have this massive game, only 4 points, only took 4 shots, 5 offensive rebounds.
That
he almost made the error that sent them home, but he also, on that scramble play, he did get one of the offensive rebounds that led to the kickout.
And that's why you go, yes, Duke blew it, but it also can be true. Houston stuck to their identity and won the way they've won all year long.
They took it from them.
They did that. That's how they've gotten to mm-hmm. this point. That's why they were a one seed. That is how they've played all season long.
Look, we don't do it often. Shout out the committee. They got it right with all the 4-1 seeds, and they all did their part, and they got here, and they gave us 2 great games.
Yeah, and now you got Big 12, SEC, mm-hmm. national title game tonight. Houston taking on Florida. The whole country's got to be rooting for Houston now, right?
The way they play, yeah. The graphic wasn't the Final Four, it was Houston.
Yeah, they're nasty, dude. Yeah. They are a fun team to watch. I hope Kelvin Sampson gets over the hump and wins a national title.
I picked Florida-Duke in the title game. With Florida-Houston here and the way Houston has been playing, it's the recency bias. I think I'm taking Houston. Florida played good, but there's just something about Houston. And maybe, it's the recency bias of it all. But there's something about Houston that just feels right.
One thing that is true about this game, if you're busy, if you have to work late, if your kids have practice, you don't have to watch until the second half, because the second half is where both these teams win games.
And for those wondering, the spread in this game is 1.5.
Yeesh.
Florida. Basically, it's a pick 'em.
I've got it at 1.
Hey, there you go. So
on the old DraftKings.
Yeah, I mean, it's about as dead even as you're going to get. The total, take a wild guess.
139.5.
140.5.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah. I didn't want to go 140 because I don't think either one of these teams is going to be scoring 70.
That's the thing. It's like, it's kind of interesting how they got to that number, because it feels like, I think when I did this with Duke Florida, I did the total at 148, I think was the combined total that I went with, because I figured it'd be a little bit more offense. In this, even with 2 great guards, which is what you typically see in final in final matchups,
Cryer and Clayton, man.
I think both those guys are going to have big games. It's going to be who shows up. Does Condon, because Condon was bad for Florida, and Hauk came in and was huge for them. Who's the second guy who shows up? Because both those guys, Clayton and Cryer, are going to ball. Who shows up besides those guys?
Got to have something off the bench tonight, because both these teams full send on Saturday.
It's going to be interesting.
Yep.
We'll talk about that. We'll preview that game a little bit more a little bit later. But coming up next, we have our worst day on the web, and it actually is from the Houston game. I don't know if you guys saw what happened. The living legend that is Hakeem Olajuwon was denied access to the floor to celebrate Houston. Reminder, this game took place in San Antonio. We'll get to that next year. But first, it's Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
We've talked about Houston basketball's return to prominence underneath Kelvin Sampson's tutelage, coaching, recruiting, culture building, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a period where Houston basketball reigned supreme. Phi Slammajama.
Yeah, buddy.
Hakeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, just true greatness in college basketball. Basketball royalty, as it were. Hakeem Olajuwon is still a guy, even though the postgame is quote-unquote dying, that players will pay $250,000 to go spend a summer with him.
Gotta learn the dream shake.
The post-fundamentals. Have you ever watched his like teaching videos?
Like, no, because it's $250,000. You can give that away for free.
He's done like little snippets of like the drills that he puts these guys through. And I think Dream's like 58, something like that now. He moves better than you or I ever moved in our entire lives at his age now. It is insane how fluid and rhythmic he is. Now, so much of that is DNA, natural talent, all that kind of stuff. But it's also because he's drilled this stuff endlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And what he is and how synonymous he is with Houston basketball makes this so egregious. After Houston wins the game, Hakeem Olajuwon is right there on the edge of the floor. And some 28-year-old security guard is telling him, no, you can't come up here and celebrate with this program, with this team. Keep in mind, this game is happening in San Antonio. Remember what Hakeem Olajuwon used to do to David Robinson?
Yeah, yeah. I think that does not make sense.
There's a step even beyond that. One of the Houston administrators is like lobbying, like, do you not know who this is?
Yeah.
Let him up there.
That right there is exactly where I was going, is that this reeks of security guard taking his job far too seriously. But also, that's on Houston. It's on Houston because they have a very limited supply of credentials of you can give somebody a badge that can take them anywhere they want. How Houston did not give that to Hakeem Olajuwon of all people is mind-boggling. And it should happen. This is on security guard for not knowing who Hakeem is. But also, you know, a lot of the people that work security and that work as ushers, a lot of them don't know or care about who is who or what is what. They don't even know what they're doing, because the hiring of that, they don't want people who are going to just watch the game the entire time. They want people who are going to do their job. So it's a little bit on that young Sparky there trying to make a good impression. I think this is more on University of Houston for not making sure Hakeem freaking Olajuwon. Yeah. And if Clyde Drexler were to show up, like, those two guys should be the two guys that automatically you get whatever badge you want. You're in the locker room with these guys. Hell, you're sitting on the bench with our team if you
because
want to.
He was in the locker room later.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
So little context, like when you're talking about security and stuff like that, like, at Blazers games, I've got my media pass. I know everybody that I interact with. I'm there every game. Like, it's a little bit different. Like, I could not have my security badge on me, and I could walk around because everyone there knows me. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of deal. But this is a different deal. It's not your home court. It's a national event.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. Even then, it's Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, I wonder if that young guy is going, oh, boy. Because if he has any friends that are fans of basketball, they're like, dude, how could you do that? Now, if they are hardcore Spurs fans, they're probably like, way to go, dude. You know what?
I almost hope that's the outcome, because that's the only way.
Yeah.
Because even, like, here's the thing. Like, again, at a Blazers game, the Knicks came to town. Patrick Ewing was walking around without a pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nobody says a damn thing, because it's Patrick mother bleeping Ewing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody bats an eye because it's Patrick Ewing. Like, yeah, he's fine.
He looked good too. He looked, Hakeem looked old, but he looked good,
fit,
dude. Yeah, he's looking awesome.
He's got to stay in shape to get that quarter mil to go work out with him.
You're damn right. It's worth it.
Look, that NBA money is not as good. It was good then, better now.
Yeah, I wonder how much.
I bet you he didn't make $100 million.
You want Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yeah.
Just because
of the era, man.
No.
It's so... Honestly, I think that's where most of, like, the old heads, like, why they get so irritated at the young guys is because how much money they made.
Oh, $110 million in salary.
There you go.
He made $110 million in salary.
And I think he had the highest paid contract in the NBA at one point in time.
$102.998 in his salary, and then they throughout his career, and then it's saying that he hit incentives that got him over 110
all NBA winning a title,
which those incentives were not as lucrative as they are now.
No, I mean, you guys now get $1 million for making the playoffs.
I don't know how much he made, but probably not a lot from his Spalding shoe.
No, probably not.
You know,
yeah. Not real high up there, I don't think.
No.
But, I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon, man.
Yeah, you should probably know.
Can't treat... Look, you see a older 7-foot man that everyone on the Houston sidelines is like, no, we're good here.
Yeah, you should probably...
The process should probably happen.
Yeah.
Look, I understand if it's... just to throw a smaller guy out there, Damon Stoudemire.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's Arizona, it's out there. And you're just not familiar with Damon Stoudemire's game. You see 5'10" dude in Arizona gear, you go, "Yeah, all right."
According to Celebrity Net Worth, which is never wrong, net worth of Hakeem, $300 million.
Probably invested pretty well. I imagine he invested around in the Houston area. Probably got some fast food restaurants.
Yeah, I bet he does. I bet he does.
I hope he has like some Hakeem Steakhouse.
Yeah, or real estate empire.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hakeem's Muslim, so maybe a halal restaurant.
Well, I mean, come on. If he doesn't have like a joint with like a milkshake counter that's called Dream Shake, we're missing everything here.
Yeah, right?
Oh, boy, he's really smart with what he does.
What's he got?
He had transacted over, this is as of 2006, had transacted over $100 million with the real estate purchases, specializing in buying properties that are ripe for development via public improvements like stadiums or train stops. For example, he buys largely undeveloped plots of land near transportation lines and popular highway exits.
Oh, as it expands.
Yeah. He bought a 41-acre property near NASA's Johnson Space Center and development into a restaurant community. He owns parking garages, apartment complex, commercial buildings, and single-family homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good gig if you can find it.
Oh, he bought Houston's former Federal Reserve Bank and converted it into a mosque.
There you go. I knew there had to be something there for him.
He owns the World Trade Center of Houston building. So.
Okay.
I think he's doing well.
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't even need that $250K. That's probably why it's so expensive. It's like, dude, if you're going to make me do this, make it worth my money.
Yeah.
Make it worth my time. I have to be incentivized here. So Hakeem Olajuwon doing really well.
It also keeps the the dregs out.
Yeah, but you mean of the NBA?
Yeah, like you can't afford this dog.
You're not a scraggler. I remember when LaMarcus went down and worked out with him one off season. That was a big deal.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it worked out really well for him.
He turned
LaMarcus incredible post footwork.
Yep. Yep.
Not a bad place to be.
Wow.
All right, so there you go. Security, be better. All right, coming up next, we talked about the big macro scope for the Portland Trailblazers, but they did play some games over the weekend.
They sure did.
And they did something against Chicago Bulls that I did not like.
Oh.
Not like it one bit. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Tony the Fan. Portland Trailblazers played two games over the weekend, one on Friday against Chicago Bulls and yesterday against San Antonio Spurs. And against the Chicago Bulls, some chicanery.
All right, you didn't like it.
Some shameless stuff. And I've said this, and I think for everybody who says, oh, you never say anything bad about the Bulls. Here's me saying it. What they did against the Chicago Bulls was shameless, and I don't like it. I said it about the Toronto Raptors, and I said it about the Utah Jazz, and I'll say it about every other team that doesn't. If you're going to tank, say it with your chest. Hold a guy out for the game. Don't pull a guy in the final couple minutes. That's exactly what happened against the Chicago Bulls. Now, I've been told that Danny was on a minutes limit and couldn't go back out there. But if you know that going into the game, then you would be more judicious with the minutes. If he's on a 35-minute minutes restriction, then why don't you sit him a little bit longer earlier and give yourself a chance to close the game with him?
Yeah, I really don't care. I thought a loss is a loss is a loss, and the Blazers found a way to do it. I'm okay with it. End of a long road trip when Denny's done.
Yeah, no.
I'm totally cool with it.
He popped up on the injury report before the game. If you're going to do it, just do it.
And they held him out last night.
They did.
Yesterday afternoon. Yep. And so he and Tumani Kamara, two, didn't play against Chicago at all. So, you know, they're limiting their guys as much as they can, not in the business of winning. Two comes back yesterday. They hold Denny out. I'm totally fine with it, just because, like, if you're going to have a minutes restriction on a guy, I agree with you. Maybe just let him figure that out. But closing games out with the young guys and just saying, all right, go try to figure this thing out on your own, I don't really care. I mean,
I don't like it. I just don't. If you're gonna do it, just do it.
Here's where I'm okay with it, or why I'm okay with it, because there's been so many times lately where they've been playing crappy teams or teams that lean to the tank even harder than Portland did. Danny's line has been a lot of time been, you were never going to out tank that team. Well, why not? Well, this time they tried to out tank that team,
and they did. This is
you're not out tanking the bottom four teams, Jeff.
But
literally not.
No, he's not saying with all of them. He's not saying with all of them. But like yesterday, this has been my gripe, is that it's like, I get it. You want your guys to play hard, but what is the point of playing Tumani Kamara and Shaedon Sharpe 34 minutes yesterday against the Spurs?
So this is the rationale that, as far as I understand it, number one, two is going to continue to play because all defensive teams.
And that is fine, but he doesn't need 34 minutes for even that, right?
I mean, that's pretty normal. That's normal starter minutes. 33, 34 is normal starter minutes.
I understand. I understand what starter minutes are. I just think at this point in the year, Don't really need it.
He's look, you're going to have to separate that. That's just a different thing. But did I want them to lose the game last night in the sense of like giving it a chance? Yes. Yes.
Especially when that game got to two, you could have just been like, well,
but again, if you're going to do it, just do it, which is, I think, part of the reason why you didn't see Denny play last night. Mm-hmm. And for those that are like, well, the Spurs did it. I'm like, the Spurs played down the stretch. Chris Paul, Harrison Barnes, Devin Vassell, Steph mm-hmm. Castle.
Yep.
They're basically their best players that they have available because Fox and Wemby are out. Wemby's out with a serious injury.
Yeah.
With the blood clot. And De'Aaron Fox, I think he's already had surgery on his hand. So they're done. It's not just shut them down. I mean, yeah, with Fox, it was, okay, let's just take care of this so we're good next season.
Yeah.
But Wemby's out. Like, that's not a tank thing. Like, he's out
back. Yep.
So the Spurs were trying to win that game. They just couldn't hit a shot to save their life.
Yeah, that's right.
Good God, did they have bricks.
That was one of the things.
The number of open looks they had last night, it was unreal.
That was one of the things when it was like, people are like, when they got to two, why didn't they turn? It's like, well, it's not their fault that San Antonio put a lid on the rim.
I mean, they just cratered. They could
gave them plenty of good looks and opportunities.
The Spurs ended up shooting 11 of 34 from three, which is not egregious. It's 32%. That should have been 17.
Mm-hmm.
The looks that they got, I mean, just butt naked, wide open corner three that bricked after. Chris Paul, my God, has he still got the goods. Did you see what he did to Donovan Klingon on that and one?
Yeah, man.
He saw Donovan Klingon at the three-point line and licked his lips.
It is amazing.
Oh, my God.
He has got such, and he always kind of had it, but now that he actually is old, his old man game is
incredible.
It's just like, damn.
He turned.
You could be bigger, stronger, faster than him. He will put you in the spin cycle.
His handle is still, I mean, Kyrie Irving has the best handle probably in NBA history. Chris Paul's right there. Right there.
Yeah.
He hit, look, Donovan Klingon's not great in space to begin with, but he stopped, started him, turned him inside out, backwards, forwards, in every other way, and then hit the hezzy in the lane that almost made Donovan fall flat on his face and then draws the N1. And it was like, and what Chris Paul finished with, I think, 9 assists, probably should have had 16. The number of passes where he drove in, looked the defense off the other way, and then ripped a one-handed pass to a wide-open shooter as the defense shifted with his eyes was just like, oh, this guy's just playing the game at a different level.
Having a great point guard, something that Duke really wants right now. Because how invaluable it is.
I mean, the stuff he was like, it doesn't show up in the box score because he finishes with what 8 points, 9 assists. You're just like, it's like, it doesn't like jump off the table or jump off the screen at you. But the way he was running things for them was just otherworldly. And they just couldn't do anything about it. Now, the Blazers winning that game, and I looked at the math just kind of going into this, and I looked at San Antonio's schedule. Even if the Blazers lose that game, it doesn't justify it because it opens the door. The Spurs play the, coming up, the Clippers, Warriors, Suns, and then end with the Raptors. They're probably only winning one game. And the Blazers are probably winning two. So you would have had to hoped and begged and prayed for San Antonio to win two, if not three, of their games down the stretch, and it's probably not happening. And then the Blazers would have had to basically lose out. You're just not doing that against the Utah Jazz. You're just the Blazers.
You can try.
The Blazers could put their worst possible lineup on the floor for 48 minutes, and they probably wouldn't lose to the Jazz because of how egregious they are going.
Well, I'd love to see that.
I would not. That is not basketball I want to watch. Hard pass.
I mean, there's not. No, I don't either, but
I'll watch the heck out of it if it means they can get down there and tie the Spurs for that eighth.
But that's the thing is, it wouldn't just hinge on that. It hinges on everything.
Well, if the Spurs,
they got to lose out, Spurs got to win out. I get it.
And the math there just isn't there. But had you done this earlier, that's what this gets back to. Had you decided to tank at the All-Star break, you could have gotten to eight.
If 7 or 8.
Seven's dicey.
Well, no, at All-Star break, you could have gotten there.
Even
at All-Star break, you could have gotten
even
there.
Even then, it's dicey.
if you would have done it at the All-Star break, if 7 or 8 win the number one pick, this is going to be the saddest town in America. Move over, Huntington, West Virginia. Portland will be the saddest town in America.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of that beast. I figured out the most gut-wrenching possibility. Let's say that the Spurs and Blazers tied at 8th. And what ends up happening is that you split the odds.
Are you really going to do this to people out here right now?
And you flip a coin. And the remaining combination, because there's an odd combination number.
Yeah.
The odd combination goes to the team that wins the coin toss.
Yeah.
And then the Spurs get the number one pick.
I feel like that, you just start that manifested
is the worst
something that is
possible outcome of that situation.
This is going to happen now, and thanks, man.
You like that one?
Wait, so we don't go to the head-to-head record to break that tie?
No, you don't.
Don't look at me like I know, Jeff. Jeff's like, this is not how this works. It's like, dude, you're looking at the wrong side of this room.
Come on, Mr. Hera.
No,
you're looking at the wrong, uh-huh.
You split the odds, and then you have a coin toss to decide that. It's not like playoff seeding.
Dang.
So, but, yeah, the Chicago one, and the justification for the Chicago one was doing the math at their schedule, looking at what the Bulls were going to do. The Bulls have, I believe, the Wizards one more time. And you wanted to assure yourself of that by giving Chicago the win and yourself the loss. And that's going to keep you basically looking at the math. I believe they have like a 70% chance combined between 8 and 9. The math was mathing.
Whatever, as dude. It were. Just draft Con Knipple and let's get this over with. All right.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of
done.
Kind of looking that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Cooper Flagg, we've seen him against Kentucky early in the year. He turned the ball over a few times at the end. And his team lost. You look at the Final Four. He had a chance to win the game. He didn't do it.
We didn't talk about that. He had a great look and he blew it.
Yeah, but I think that means he's probably in that 8, 9, 10 range.
Probably should knock him for that.
I mean, I'm here in Portland. I'm looking at that and I'm saying, man.
He's definitely going up on the board. Just
dude.
Fails to hit game winners in crunch time situations.
Yeah. I mean, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, how many tournament shots did they miss?
Yeah, right.
None. They did not miss a single shot in the tournament. So
undefeated too.
Yes. They didn't. No losses. No losses for Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey.
No misses, no losses, no turnovers even.
Incredible. Incredible.
1-2
Cooper Flagg though. I think he's 8-9 material.
Yeah, Con Knipple didn't miss that game winner.
Nope.
Well, I don't know. Flagg falling down that far, that would make my Knipples hard.
God. That's
well played, man.
We'll keep that for later. All right, coming up next, we're gonna keep it in the NBA world because, ladies and gentlemen, the Western Conference is absolutely insane from 3 down to 8. What in the world is going to happen in this final week, and where are we going to see teams end up? And then something we've talked about for the last couple of days, but not able to get to. Who do you trust in this Western Conference not named Oklahoma City Thunder? And do you trust them after getting mopped by the Lakers? All that and more on Hour No. 3 on Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.